Well, I want to share a wonderful revelation with you about the way, about those who turn aside the way of the meek. And this revelation was given to Eve Brast on the 6th of this month. And Deb put some notes in it. And I too. And it's awesome. It's awesome. A revelation and a warning. Because we are running a race here, and there are those that are doing their very best to get people kicked out of the race. And Eve said this. She said, "Father gave me a warning dream about the factious spirits. I didn't know or recognize any of the people that I saw in the dream. They are possibly principalities and represent the spirits behind these attacks." Well, as I read it, it looks like they are types of people. And the descriptions are types of people, too. So let me share this with you. First, she said, "I asked Father for a verse for us concerning this dream below, and my finger was on Haggai 2 and 3. Starting in verse 2, it says, 'Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel.'" Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. He represents the first fruits born from Babylon. "The governor of Judah," represents a leader, and I would say the man-child ministry. "And to Joshua," which is the name Jesus, "the son of Jehozadak, the high priest." So I think we're seeing here the man-child and Jesus. "And to the remnant of this people." So this is who this was spoken to, the remnant of the people. Out there in Christianity, there is a remnant of true Christianity, and the rest are not. And what I say by all or not, they are not Christian. And that's what God's coming to do. He's going to bring in those that have gone astray. And he's going to use the beast and the harlot and the crucifixion and the judgments in the end times to do this. No, all are not coming in, but the elect will. And verse 3 says, "Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory?" Well, you know what? Everybody that has eyes to see the scripture has seen this house in its former glory. Back before the great falling away. Okay? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? Yes, the beginning of the rebuilding of the house of God is where we are now. The man, child, and bride will be an example of that house to the rest of the church. Verse 4 says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts." What work is he talking about? The work of building the temple of God. And as you know, the temple of God is no longer a building. It is the building of the people of God, fitly framed together into a temple of the Lord, right? Verse 5 says, "According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit abode among you, fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, and it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." Now, God gave her this by faith and at random. And we know, we've been told this many, many times, that this shaking is almost upon us. And I believe spiritual and literal earthquakes are coming with the Lord in his man-child body. And it goes on to say, and the precious things, and the word therefore in the Hebrew is desire or desired. In other words, it's Jesus, the desired. Of all the nations, and it's not just all nations of the pagans, but all the nations of God's people. This is an important thing to point out. All right. Also, we see it says the desired of all nations of people, of God's people, shall come. Well, Jesus will come in his man-child to repeat his history. That's what he told me many years ago. The things that have been are the things that shall be. And he goes on to say, and I will fill this house with glory. This is the glory of Jesus, as spoken about in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So the house is the people. The glory is the glory of the Lord. He is the desired of the people of God of all nations, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. Greater than in the days of Jesus. Greater when God raised up his heavenly Jerusalem in those days, according to Paul. And there was a great falling away. And who saw that house then? Well, as we read the scriptures, we see that house. We who have eyes to see that house. But he said, this one's going to be greater. And in this place will I give peace, that is, in this house. The people who are in this house, they will have peace, says the Lord of hosts. That's his good promise to us. And Eve said, this encouraged me because, like David always says, don't worry, saints, we win. Yes, we do. It's clearly written over and over and over. So then she shares her dream. I dreamed I was in an ATV four-wheeler race with all the other UBM brethren. It was a UBM race or sponsored by UBM. And my thought is, yes, we promote this race. We want people to know there is a race to the finish line. No, it's not against each other, but it is against the clock to bear fruit. And of course the wicked try to stop it because Satan hates this. The people who win this race are mortal enemies of his. They will destroy his kingdom. They will plunder it, right? Amen. And we were racing on narrow sandy pass through a wooded area on army green four-wheelers. Well, traveling on a four-wheeler moves without our own works, right? A type of the rest of faith. And those in the rest are fast and maneuverable in God's army, and like a four-wheeler. And Deb gave this verse, 2 Timothy 2 and 4, no soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. We shouldn't be entangled in the world, in the ways of the world, the speaking of the world, the judgment, the criticism of the world, the anger of the world, the lusts of the world. We shouldn't be entangled in these things because we won't finish the race. And the narrow path here is obedience to the word. So, she went on to say, in the race there were some who were ahead of me and some who were behind me. And we were all trying to make it to the finish line. Again, it's not a race against people. It's a race against time to get to the finish line. You've only been allotted a certain amount of time to bear fruit. And after that, you'll be turned loose. So, I mean, Jesus did that in Matthew 13. To you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. He turned them loose. And time will soon be up. And the bride will be chosen. Also, the race is to manifest Jesus before our time is up and we are accounted as unprofitable servants because they didn't bear the fruit of the Word. The fruit of the Word is your obedience to the Word, right? Amen. And she said, I came upon a house in the middle of the racing path that was high up on stilts. And Deb wrote about this. She said, pride is the entry point for many a transgression. It's high up on stilts. Proverbs 2 and 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the foreigner that flattereth with her words, that forsaketh the friend of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. How do you know people forget the covenant and forsake their friend, Jesus, who is the Word? They just depart from the commands of Scripture. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus said. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. In Isaiah 2 and 12, for there shall be a day of the Lord of hosts upon all that is proud and haughty, and upon all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan. Amen. You remember the Bashan who made war against Jesus in Psalm 22? The bulls of Bashan. Eve said it was painted gray, but the shutters were painted dark blue. This house that was in the middle of the path, blocking the path, right? It was painted gray, but the shutters were dark blue. And Deb said gray is the color of the pit. Yeah, it's also the color of death. She said it indicates mixture. Black and white. Amen. Mixture. There's a mixture in Christianity. The part from heaven and part from hell. We call it lukewarm. Okay? And dark blue here is the color of the heavens at night. The dark heavenly places of the second heaven where the demons dwell. And Eve said, I thought that it was strange that it was in the middle of the racing path, but figured it was part of the race. Yes, it is. It's a trial. It's a test. It is part of the race. This house was pretending to be a heavenly nature. Yeah, because the false church, or the harlot's house, is a pretend Christianity. She said the front steps were like concrete apartment steps leading up to the front door. So I raced my ATV up the stairs where the front door opened by itself to me. And I thought, this is so strange. Because this is a house to test the people of God. And God allowed all this, and He put this into His plan to test people. The harlot's house is going to test everybody. And when we say the harlot's house, we're talking about the people of the harlot. How do we know who they are? Well, that's what the scriptures is for, is to teach us, and we can watch for their fruit. He said, you'll know them by their love one for another. Didn't Jesus say that? That's right. So, once inside, I realized I was in the den. There were many coffee tables, chairs, and ottomans from the 1960s era arranged in a maze. A maze, of course, is a test, isn't it? The challenge was to run my ATV through this maze in the den without letting the furniture pieces touch my vehicle. Yeah, don't touch any unclean thing. The Lord says, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Amen. This proved difficult because the pieces would move about by themselves and change the path of the maze. Ah, a test, right? You know, nothing is stable in the harlot's house because they're not founded on the rock of the Word. They move it according to their own wishes, their own desires. And you try to hold their feet to the fire as far as the Word, it is useless because they have no respect for it. Everything there is a stumbling block to those running the race. The maze keeps moving as you move, right? Their obstacles in the way are a test for us, as Satan tempted Jesus. You know, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Does it happen with us? Yeah, it certainly does. We're all going to be tempted of the devil. We are here to overcome. The only promise that God gives in the book of Revelation is to overcomers. Amen? This is all to separate the wheat from the tares. That's what it's all about. Many start out with us, but they don't finish, just as the Lord said. In Romans 14 and 13, Deb writes, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge ye this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way." Wow, that's dead on, isn't it? No man. This is what he's warning you. Or an occasion of falling. In Ezekiel 14 and 3. "Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" And Revelation 2 and 14. "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there some that hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel." There are many Balaams out there casting stumbling blocks before God's people while they try to run the race. "And to eat things sacrificed to idols." In other words, the Word is our bread. It's the unleavened bread. This is what we're supposed to be eating. "And things sacrificed to idols are false Jesuses, false words, false people. And to commit fornication." That is, they commit fornication with the world because they're not supposed to be receiving nor sowing the seed of the world. Right? And Romans 11 and 9, "And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them." This is the stumbling block of the wicked. It's a recompense unto them. And Eve said, "I was relieved once I made it through the den. I was then greeted by a tall woman dressed in a rust-colored long blouse." Well, rust represents corruption, the decay of defilement. "That went down to her mid-thigh, and black slacks," representing walking in darkness. "She had reddish-brown hair," just like the rust, right? Hair represents submission in 1 Corinthians 11, and submission to corruption is what is seen here. Red is sin, brown is death, rust-colored is for corruption, right? And that was done up in a beehive style of the 1960s. You know, in my early Christian life, I saw many legalistic religious people wear these as a false sign of holiness and superiority. They really believed it was a sign of holiness. They talked about not cutting their hair, so they put it all up in the beehive. But that was what made them holy as they didn't cut their hair. But they would chew it off. Yeah, any way to get around what they thought was holy, they did it. You know, they would chew it off. They would do silly stuff like that. So, it's a Pharisaical thing. Holiness, of course. A woman should have long hair, but it's a sign of her submission to her husband. It's a sign of her submission to her husband. If we're not going to be submitted to our husband, we might as well be shaven. That's what Paul said, right? So a lot of people really should be shaven in repentance. And Deb said, so this represents yet more pride by adding height to one's stature. Yeah. I used to say when they would shout, they called it, they would shout. They would shake and shout, you know, under the Spirit. And that bun would get shaken down every time. And I'd say, you know, I don't believe the Lord likes that for some reason. I was just a young Christian, and speaking reasonably, they didn't understand my thinking. She was very friendly and assertive and very much in control of the house. Well, this represents, obviously, the Jezebel spirit. And she also wore her makeup in 60s style, with thick black eyeliner and fake eyelashes. And I see this as seeing through darkness, emphasizing their false ability to see spiritual things, which is more pride. And Deb wrote Jeremiah 4 and 30. She said, "And thou, when thou art made desolate, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with scarlet, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou enlargest thine eyes with paint, in vain dost thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers despise thee. They seek thy life." Who is it in the Scriptures that's going to destroy the harlot? The beast is going to burn her with fire. He used the harlot to get a position of political authority over the people. And then the beast, which is a corporate body, will burn the harlot, destroy the harlot. And the Lord himself is separating the wheat from the tares, and he's going to turn those tares over to the beast. And Deb went on to say, the demon who is controlling this person does want her dead. Yes. And 2 Kings 9 and 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jehu, as you know, was a man-child ministry that drove idolatry out of Israel and Jezebel out of Israel. So when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes. There it is again. She painted her eyes, and attired her head, and looked out of the window. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. That's verse 33. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. So she was killed by her own pride, her own rebellion against God, her own witchcraft, which is like rebellion, right? She welcomed me as if she had done this many times before with the other racers ahead of me. And that's the facts. That's exactly what's happening, folks. The factious harlot has tested many to prove whose word has no roots, right? She said, welcome, we are so glad you are here, very enthusiastically. She initially spoke well of David and UBM to find out where my loyalties lay. Well, you know, these people are deceptive, dishonest, always hiding their true feelings of hatred against all that is godly. And Eve said, I was very annoyed with her interference of me getting through the house and out the back door so I could continue on the racing path and finish the race. You know, some don't ever make it through that house. That's where they stop, right there. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore let us also, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight. The harlot is full of weights. The factious want to weigh you down with their sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The harlot wants to weigh you down with their sins, with their weights, so you can't run this race. The devil doesn't want you to finish this race. Then you're a threat to him. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Yep, faith will get us through this, saints. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame. Who was trying to heap shame on Jesus? The factious hypocrites of his day. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you want to make it there? You'll have to run this race to the finish. You'll have to not let anybody pull you aside. And verse 3, for consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself. Now, the gainsaying of sinners against Jesus was the so-called people of God, who judged him, who didn't like him because he was the Word. They hated him because he was the Word, made flesh. And they have hated everybody throughout history who spoke the Word of God. And today, it's probably worse than ever. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that you wax not weary, fainting in your souls. And don't get weary because of the trial of the wicked around you. They want to cast a stumbling block at your feet so you don't finish the race. It's not them, it's Satan in them. All who spoke the word in the Bible endured such gainsaying from this factious harlot. David, in many of the Psalms, spoke of their slander and railing against him. It was a type for Jesus and Jesus and the man-child to come. Is it happening today? Oh, believe me, it's happening today. Eve said, she kept stepping in front of my ATV and trying to stall me from leaving. Why? Because there's a time that we have to be bearing fruit. And they know this. They work for Satan. They are the enemy. He knows that those who finish the race are his greatest enemy, and that they can defeat him, and he will do anything, including the factious harlot, to stop us. Eve said, I stopped for a minute and looked up at her and said, if you'll excuse me, I really just need to get through here and finish this race. She then said, oh, of course. No, she didn't want that, did she? Oh, of course. As if she was put off by my shortness. And I asked for a verse for this woman, and my finger was on Mark 5:14, on the words, and they that fed them fled. Ooh, oh, my goodness. Nail on the head again, you know. Verse 13, and he gave them leave, and the unclean spirits came out and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep into the sea, in number about 2,000, and they were drowned in the sea. And they that fed them fled and told it in the city and in the country. and they came to see what it was that had come to pass. Well, okay, be careful, saints. This is a test to see who will be turned aside out of the way. Unclean spirits come out of these people, and those who are defiled by them are like spiritual, suicidal swine. You're committing suicide if you mess with these people. Their spirits want to jump on you. You know, the hog that had washed to wallowing in the mire, turning back to wallowing in the mire, that's what's happening. And this is why we are commanded to separate from them quickly. As I got to the back door, it also opened up by itself. I drove out onto the back. In other words, this is a God thing. When he says it opened up by itself, this is a God thing. God's planned this test to prove who you and I are. I drove out onto the back porch. In other words, what's hidden behind the house? And found myself on a small, rickety, wooden porch. An unstable porch, like everything else about the harlot's house, with a large air conditioner that blocked a large portion of the porch. Well, air conditioning represents spirit. Air, spirit, right? The same meaning in Scripture for breath, wind, air, spirit. However, in this case, we're seeing that the spirit is manipulated by man. Air conditioning. Artificially used by man. Many people call it the spirit, think they have the spirit, brag to others that they know, that they've heard from God, that they're doing God's will, etc., etc. Well, the porch was railed by an old splintered wooden railing. Once again, this is a play on words. Railing is a spirit that defiles people, from which they are separated from the church in 1 Corinthians 5. Do you understand? You're to separate them from them, and commanded so from God in 1 Corinthians 5. The railing in disrepair speaks of a danger of falling to a lower level in God due to the railing. You got it? It was also painted dark blue. There it is again. The dark heavenly realm. Stay out of the dark heavenly realm. Amen? There was barely room for my ATV out there. In other words, there was no room to stay in the rest from self-works. Right? Of course, we must cease from our self-works. That's what the Sabbath was a type of. However, we're not to rest one day from our self-works. We're supposed to rest every day. And that's why we have faith in the Word of God, because it causes you to cease from your works, right? And he said, I noticed the dirt tire tracks of the UBMers ATV who had come before me on the top of the air conditioner. Now I'm going to tell you what the Lord spoke to me when I got to this point. The unleavened bread minister who went before us and overcame all of man's temptations is Jesus. He went right over the top of that air conditioner. Eve said, I then got off and scooted around the air conditioner to see if there was any stairs leading down. Now, Belinda is a very faithful Christian, but she's being used here to warn us of the wrong path. Down and not up is the wrong path. She said, but all I saw was a feeble-looking ladder built of the same old splintered wood that the porch railing was made of, and also painted dark blue. Oh my goodness, there's that dark blue again. The way down is fraught with danger from the dark blue heavenly darkness bunch. You know, their splinters wound deeply until there's no desire or knowledge to continue the race. Eve said, I then looked down on the ground. That, emphasizing looked down on the ground, and saw that the racing path continued away from this porch and house. Oh, that's good. Glory be to God. Leaving that place. I couldn't see any way to jump my ATV up onto the air conditioner and back down onto the path as the previous racer had done, as Jesus did, right? Well, I believe that looking down on the ground instead of up to heaven may be the clue to disaster here. The factious harlot's house gravitates to the earthly. They have no faith for themselves or others. And that is why they speak curses instead of faith and fall into the grossest sins. Many times they fall into the sins that they had in their youth before they came to God, except it's worse. Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised together with Christ, that's by faith, right? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above. What do you have in heavenly places in Christ? He has blessed us with all things in heavenly places in Christ. What do you have there? Not what do you have on the earth? And it goes on to say, not on the things that are upon the earth. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are upon the earth. So this is how these people cause you to fall. Because they set your mind and your eyes on the things that are upon the earth. You have no faith for your brothers. You don't, and you're believing liars. And you don't have two faithful witnesses. I mean, Jesus had two witnesses and they were both liars, right? And others in the Bible too. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, that means in you, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. That's his glory, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image. From glory to glory. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. Some people lust for a position, lust for authority. But they have no fruit, and it's easy for people to see. And covetousness, they desire things. They'll steal from you, which is idolatry. For which things' sake comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein you also once walked when you lived in these things. But now do you put them all away? Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. But now do you put them all away? And the people that do them. And 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings. Did God know what was going to happen in these days? Yes, he did, and he pegged it really good here. And have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Wow. Folks, get your eyes on the King, on the kingdom, right? Off of the earth. You will fall if you let people put your eyes on the earth, on the earthly, on the lusts of the flesh, on this anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth, lying, etc. I was frustrated and I left my ATV out on the porch. Uh-oh. And went back into the house. And the ATV represented rest, power, agility, etc. When there seems to be no way, In other words, to get over the air conditioner and on the path to leave the house, do not leave the rest, for the promises are all inclusive. You know what Jesus said, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever. Does that leave out getting over the corrupt air conditioner of men? All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. Wow. So you see, the Lord is there. Just have faith. Stay in the rest. Stay on your ATV. Never mind the path back into the house. Right? And the woman said, oh, you are back. A fatal mistake. For we're commanded in Titus 3:10, a factious person, after a first and second admonition, refuse. Don't go back. Refuse them. Walk away. Why is he so insistent on this in the scriptures? Because they're trying to impart demons to you. I remember the false revival, how that if they touched you, laid hands on you, they imparted those demons. And they wanted to pray over everybody in the building every time they got together. They wanted to impart them demons. But with the factious movement, all they had to do is speak a lie and a curse to you, and they imparted demons. All you had to do is read it, believe it, hear it, sit there and disobey the word and listen to this slander against your brothers and sisters, and it came in. And when this is not obeyed, the person is captured by these demons. And Eve said, come, I want you to meet our other brethren. That's the woman who was in charge. And these other brethren, of course, are those also who failed the test in the way. She said, we all live here and share this house. Yes, the house of the factious harlot. My name is Shelley. Meaning, the meaning of the name, Eve wrote, is meadow on the ledge. And Deborah wrote, she is on the edge of a cliff. This is true. Very dangerous. No railing. Then her husband came into the room, and she said, this is my husband, so-and-so. I can't remember what the name was. He was tall, thin, in other words, underfed. I would say this represents being underfed in the word, with short, unbrushed, dirty, blonde hair. Well, it seems like there is a consistent theme here, submission to corruption, dirty, blonde hair. He was wearing a plaid shirt with the same rust color. Oh, again, we're seeing that this is submission to corruption, rust. In it, that Shelley was wearing, in other words, he had the same rust color in his plaid shirt that Shelley was wearing, and the tan corduroy pants. Tan, of course, is impure. It's not white. It's impure. And pants represents your walk, impure walk. Then another man walked into the room, and she introduced him as Don. And he gives the meaning here of mother goddess. Don means dark stranger. He was also tall, but with a thicker, wider build, and had short, reddish, blonde hair. There's that reddish again. Short, reddish, blonde hair that was thinning on top. He didn't have much submission, right? He had a full face, kind of flat, and he wore old, large-frame glasses with large lenses that touched the base of his cheekbones. In 2 Peter 1:9, Deb writes, for he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. And he really don't get cleansing from his old sins if you don't forgive, do you? You don't have a cleansing of your old sins if you don't forgive, because you're not forgiven. oh, this is a terrible place to be, but people think they can indulge in this. Actually, they don't have any reason whatsoever. The demons make them just totally ignore the Word of God. He smiled at me and held out his hand for me to shake it, but I didn't extend my hand to him in return. So he kind of sheepishly put his hand down and sat in the chair. Now people would say, oh, that's not courteous. This is a test right here to overcome. 2 John 1:9 says, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. Now here it comes. If any one cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, the teaching to abide in the teaching of Christ, receive him not into your house. But don't forget this. This is for your safety, God says this. And give him no greeting. No matter how impolite you think it is, he says, give him no greeting. Eve gave him no greeting because he went onward and he didn't abide in the teaching. What does he mean, goes onward? He started out with you, but he didn't continue in the teaching. What does the Lord say? Give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. Uh-oh. When a person does give greeting to these people, they end up partaking in their evil works, having failed the test of the Word. Shelley went on to say that Don and his wife lived there also. These were people that were on the same track, but got distracted at the harlot's house. She then went on to introduce me to a young man named Scott, meaning painted warrior. In other words, Deb says, a barbarian, who was sitting in another chair in the room with a black laptop in front of him. Black here, laptop could be giving and receiving dark communication with others. He had short black hair, submission to darkness. 1 Corinthians 11, your hair is a sign of submission. Submission to darkness, black hair that was parted and combed over towards his left ear. Submission to words from the left, your ear, right? The goats are on the left. They don't care. They'll hear whatever they want to hear. She went on to tell me of another man who lived there, and I don't remember his name. She said, there are six of us in all. The beast. Six, right? The beast is invading the church in order to separate the tares. And Eve said, I was really not enjoying all of the introductions, and my mind was solely on how to get on with the race, which is as we should be. Shelley then casually brought up David and was making rather neutral comments about him at first. She acted as if her house and its residents were members of UBM, and that, well, they're not. It didn't matter even if they were with us. If they were with us, they would have continued with us. But that it might be proven that they are not of us, they left. That's what John said. Its residents were members of UBM, and that they were proud to be a part of this UBM race. Deception. She claimed her house was a designated rest stop or a way station along the race course. Not designated by us. All the others chimed in with their half-hearted comments. Then the talk started to take a different direction. Shelley started making negative comments about David, as did the others as well. And I became alarmed and then realized that I was surrounded by factious enemies. They were all taking turns barraging me with negative comments about UBM and especially David. I could feel their hatred and utter contempt for him. Yes, I felt that too. Then Shelley, who was standing to my left, rested her right hand on my left shoulder and leaned in towards my left ear and put her left arm out straight in front of us, and a vision opened up in front of us. See, they're trying to put an imagination in your mind. And I could see David sitting in a very narrow, white painted hallway, very narrow, that all sounds good, doesn't it? In a chair with other UBM brethren sitting next to him, with radio sound equipment to his right. And I would say that's for broadcasting the truth to the sheep who are on the right. And Deb said the narrow path is the sanctified way. The hallway could be a wordplay on hallowed. A hallway is not a place to live in, but a passage from one place to another. Yes, we're just passing through. We need to be acting like we're just sojourners and just passing through here, folks, or else we'll be left. They had to sit lined up against the wall so that other brethren could go back and forth up and down the hallway. David looked very old with many wrinkles. And Deb said the truth is from ancient times. The ancients speaking through him is what is seen here. Well, that's good. I do like to not teach what I teach, but what God teaches, and let him do the speaking. He's very old, and so are all of his people who wrote the word, very old. He kept taking very deep breaths as he taught the brethren. Well, breath is the same word for spirit. In other words, this represents taking in the Spirit in order to release the Spirit's words. His breaths were so loud that I could hear them through the radio equipment. I asked Father for a verse for David's condition in this dream, and my finger was on the words, "Wherein we must be saved," from Acts 4:12. In context, she writes, Acts 4:10, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even in him does this man stand here before you whole. He is the stone which was set at naught of you the builders, which is made the head of the corner." The Lord told me one time that I was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to these same people. He said, "He is a stone which was set at naught of you the builders." They set at naught Jesus. They will set at naught the man-child. They set at naught prophets all through the scriptures. These people proved who they were. They slandered. They lied about them. They twisted everything. And verse 12 goes on to say, "And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved." We must be in the name of Jesus, in his nature, in his character, in his authority. That's what name means, right? And Eve went on. She said, "When Shelley put her hand on my shoulder, darkness crowded into my eyes, as if I were going to black out, and a heaviness fell over my frame, but I shook it off." Well, many do not shake this demonic anointing off, and they even die with it. We're warned that even the innocent can be deceived by them. Romans 16:17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, Mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling. What does this house do? To make people stumble. Contrary to the dark doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. If you don't obey, you will be captured. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech, you notice how smooth that this woman and these people were. They just hid their real intent. They beguile the hearts of the innocent. The hearts of the innocent? Yes. They beguile. They deceive the hearts of the innocent. Eve said, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. As I watched David teaching in the vision, they were saying all kinds of hateful things and slanderous things about him and UBM. They said that David was a fake and a liar, and that he was just a power-hungry man that wanted to rule over everyone else. They said he was weak and feeble and had no power, and that UBM had no power to help anyone. Then they started in on the dreams and how all the dreams were lies, and that David used them to manipulate people, and that dreams were all he ever talked about. Wow. Well, as far as power, I'll point out to you something that is still happening. I just shared last week the miracle of us using a bottle to run a gas refrigerator that's been running for now a month and a week, if I'm not mistaken, on empty. Well, the Lord did that. And I've had miracles like that all of my life. I've had him fill my gas tanks, my automobile gas tanks. I've had him run my cars without anything in them. Who is doing that for me? Who's doing these miracles for me? Is it because the Lord hates me so much that he does all these miracles for me? Well, I've seen no miracles. I've seen no power out of the factious people because God is not with them. And as far as them hating the dreams and visions, they railed at Jesus' parables too. Well, huh? These are Jesus' parables. He sent them to us. Now this identifies them and their spiritual fathers. Their railing identifies me too. The Lord gave me this text a few days before receiving this dream concerning the cursing, their cursing against me. 2 Samuel 16 and 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Because he curseth, and because the Lord has said unto him, curse David? Who then shall say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all of his servants, behold, my son, who came forth from my bowels, seeketh my life. The same thing is true of me, spiritually speaking. How much more may this Benjamite now do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. And it may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done unto me, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing of me this day. Well, that was a comfort to me. So David and his men went by the way, and Shemaiah went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Totally demon-possessed man, right? And I shall be blessed for his cursing of me, praise the Lord. And Deb wrote this. She said, yeah, the Syrian king was none too happy that he couldn't hide his plots from Elisha either. We've known every time, saints, when an attack was coming, and the Lord just had us pray against it. There's one coming. I believe we're in the midst of it. And we call it the Sennacherib scenario. It's coming, and it's going to end the whole thing. Yeah. You remember Sennacherib, you know, conquered many of the people of God all the way up to Jerusalem. And when their demon army gathered against Jerusalem, God smote them. Well, the demon army is gathering. 2 Kings 6:11. And the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Would you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Because evidently he always found out his tactics before it happened. And one of his servants said, Nay, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. This is happening to us right now about a certain factious person. The Lord is telling us what they're thinking, what they're planning, everything. It's been coming to us just as clear as a bell. And Eve said, Every time they would make one of these comments, I felt painful physical blows to my body as if I was getting punched from all directions. Well, it is a spiritual assault on believers. A molestation, if you will, of believers. I closed my eyes and started praying in tongues. I knew what they were saying was all lies. They were trying to get me to join them in order to cause much damage to UBM. Why are the demons so insistent about separating people from UBM? Why did they do the same thing to all the prophets and Joseph and Moses and David and Jesus and the apostles? Because Satan must stop the word and prayer. He hates the word. He hates our materials. He has been making war against our materials. He doesn't want them out. And I'm very glad for that. I wouldn't be doing anything good if I didn't know that. And Eve said, I jerked my shoulder loose from under the oppressive weight of Shelley's hand, and I kept my eyes closed as I faced the opposite direction from the vision holding my rib cage as if I'd been punched in the ribs repeatedly. The warfare is real, saints. But spiritual. It's a fight for your spiritual life. Avoid this. Obey the Lord and turn away from them, as we just saw is commanded. Or, as she put it in the dream, I faced the opposite direction. She turned away from them. Amen. That's how you overcome. Praise God. Now, you can't think this stuff up in your sleep, folks. Don't believe that, you know. Goofy dreams are goofy, you know. When they make perfect sense, even though they are a parable and have to be interpreted, because Jesus, you had to interpret all of Jesus' parables, didn't you? Okay. She said, after this, the man named Don came up and told me that they had all joined a large Baptist church. Well, they're really great about backsliding. I mean, they don't want to hear anything or any word that's in depth, that's spiritual, you know. And that it was really wonderful there. He said they had received miracles and healing at this Baptist church, unlike UBM. And that I ought to come and visit it. Well, this brought to my mind 2 Timothy 3:2, For men shall be lovers of self. Lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, even spiritual parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, in other words, you can't appease them, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good. Traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. They deny the power thereof. They don't believe in the power of the Spirit. They have backslidden into their dead church. From these also turn away. There it is again. Turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women, representing, I would say, groups of people, are likened unto women, laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, and ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The demon in them totally blocks their ability to come to the knowledge of the truth. The same with the false revival movement. Folks, they can't be holy and they can't know the truth. They scoff at it. And even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, there's that rust, reprobate concerning the faith. They cannot believe the faith. And they cannot speak the faith. They speak faith for no one. They want to be saved, but they can't speak faith for anyone else, so God gives them nothing from faith, right? But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be evident unto all men, as theirs also came to be. Notice that. Their folly shall be evident unto all men, as theirs also came to be. You watch. It's going to happen. There's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. And we could have revealed them a long time ago. But the Lord said, just be patient, wait, endure the trial, wait for the crucifixion work to finish, wait for the separation of the tares from the wheat, and then I'll do it. Then Shelley said, well, we all have to go to church now. Make yourself at home. Then they all filed out the door, and I was left alone in this house. I suddenly became aware that I was starving. Yeah, for real food. There ain't no real food in the harlot's house. And they don't feed any word anymore in the factious house. It's not done. They don't study it. They don't feed it. They don't listen to it. I've had them tell me that, just flat out, like it was a cool thing. So I went into their kitchen to see if there was anything to eat. But all they had was processed foods and chips and junk food. Oh, we need the good food, the good unleavened bread food, right? They do not partake of the pure food that matures in Christ. Eve said, I was repulsed and gave up looking for anything nutritious to eat in the harlot's house, right? And Deb said, we're supposed to eat only the unleavened bread of the Word, but they have no Word. Well, that's so true. And they totally ignore it. Suddenly, another vision opened up to me, and I saw the six of these house residents on a stage. Deb said, pride again. This is just amazing. On a stage at the front of this Baptist church. The stage had a wood floor, in other words, founded on that which grows out of the earth from beneath, as Jesus said. I am from above, you are from beneath. He said that to these religious leaders, for goodness sake. Yeah. It had a bright red curtain on both sides of it, representing trapped in sin, I would say. Isaiah 1:15 says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. They are guilty of blood for causing a stumbling block to God's people. wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's a red curtain on both sides of them. Their sins, they're encased in their sins. They were all standing in a row, stepping from side to side and clapping their hands, and they were the praise and worship leaders of this church. And as they sang, each would take turns stepping forward and claiming a healing that they had received in this church. You know, I discover something about these folks. They always feel free when the demons come in. But the freedom is from constraint to the Word. It's from the crucified life. They're free from being a bondservant to Jesus. That's the freedom that they feel. They no longer have to lose their life in this world. And when this vision ended, they were all walking back into this house. And I thought, oh no, they're back. Then Shelley came over to me and pointed to Scott, who had sat back down in front of his laptop, his black laptop, and said, you really ought to join us, you know. Scott here is very good with the computer. He has even designed a website for us. It's really very good. Tell her the web address, Scott. Scott then told me the web address. I don't remember what it was, but in the dream I knew it was full of the same poison that they had been throwing at me earlier, and that I didn't want to visit it or their church. A wise decision. Then Shelley came up behind me and put both of her hands on my shoulders. The darkness and heaviness of both of her hands on my shoulders sent me to the floor, and I could feel my body twitching as if in a seizure of some kind. All I can say, saints, is do not let them lay hands on you or speak in your ears or read their poison. This is how the demons are imparted. Finish the race to be in the chosen. Bear the fruit of Jesus our Lord. And then Eve said, this woke me out of the dream. And I asked Father for a verse concerning what I represent in this dream. And my finger was on the words, the meek, from Amos 2 and 7. In context, verse 4 says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have rejected the law of the Lord, and have not kept his statutes. And their lies have caused them to err, after which their fathers did walk. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Now, what does that mean? This is apostate Jerusalem that's in bondage with her children, as Paul said in Galatians 4. It's Jerusalem run by the old man of the land. Yesterday we received in our prayer meeting, by random faith, 1 Chronicles 11 and 4. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem. The same is Jebus. And the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, were there. That's the old man. Remember? Remember when Israel was in Egypt, they were in bondage to the old man of the land. Right? And the Red Sea was that experience of them being delivered from the power of the old man of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, "Thou shalt not come in hither." Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. So then it became what? The bride. At first, Jerusalem was inhabited and ruled by these corrupt inhabitants of the land, the old man. And the leadership of God's people today is just like that. And they said, "David, you can't come in here." Didn't make any difference to the Lord. David took the stronghold of Zion. And in our day, folks, all of this is going to be fulfilled. It's all going to be fulfilled. Everything's going to be turned around. Yep, the railers, the slanders, the liars, they're going to be routed royally. God will now raise up the Jerusalem that is from above, the bride, the heavenly city, that Paul said he came to in his day, in Hebrews. But there was a great falling away. Corrupt men took the reins of Christianity, and there was a great falling away. We've been going through a long process of restoration that the reformers have brought to the church to try to bring it back to its roots. It's still happening. There's still reformers. God told me my business was a reformer, to bring the church back to its roots. And I'm nobody, and I know it. But I just put the word in me, and the Lord brings it forth, because His power is made perfect in weakness, right? He's going to finish reforming His true people. But many who call themselves His people are going to prove that they are not, through their transgressions, through their corruption. Okay, let's continue on with this Amos 2 text. It says, verse 6, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have sold the righteous for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, traitors to the people of God, to turn them over to the beast, as Judas did." That's who they are. Verse 7, "They that pant after the dust of the earth, on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek." There it is. Turn aside the way of the meek. Now the Lord told her she represented the meek. And all the things that they put in the path of her four-wheeler, of her rest, to try to make her stumble and fall, showed that they were trying to turn aside the way of the meek, to get them out of the race. The devil has his fakes, his proud fakes down here. They all claim their titles and stuff, and claim they're somebody, and claim they have authority to go around corrupting people and to speak against elders, which they're not. And he goes on to say, "And a man and his father go unto the same maiden." They're all mixed up in the harlot, right? "To profane my holy name. And they lay themselves down beside every altar upon clothes taken in pledge." They're just plundering the people. "And in the house of their God they drink the wine of such as have been fined, yet destroyed I the Amorite before them." In other words, hey, they're doing all this, and I destroyed these people before them, "whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit from above, and his roots from beneath." Oh my goodness, What is he saying? Look, I did it to them. I'm going to do it to you. That's what he's saying. I destroy his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. This has happened. My goodness. They don't have any conscience of the Word anymore. They used to be excited about the Word. But they didn't do anything with it. Therefore, the Lord turned them over to demons. Also, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and led you 40 years in the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up your sons for prophets and your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink to make them stumble, right? And commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Oh, they get mad when you prophesy. They do not want to hear the word of God. That's what makes them so furious and so angry. They do not want to hear the word of God. And that's what got them in this situation in the first place. So, I represent, this is Eve's note, she said, so I represent the meek who are turned aside from the race due to the lies of factious brethren. But Father will soon punish them for this. Yes, we have that word. It is definitely the facts. So, why is God permitting this until the bride is chosen? Why is he permitting this test? Yeah, well, it's to weed out those people that are not in the bride. It's to separate the wheat from the tares for the end times, too. We received this verse this morning for our prayer meeting when asking for a word for the body, Matthew 13 and 30. And we asked it by faith, and we received it by random. Matthew 13 and 30, let both grow together until the harvest. Well, you know, we didn't recognize these people up until recently. This falling away caused the son of perdition to be revealed. Didn't the Lord say the coming of the Lord won't happen until the falling away comes first and the son of perdition is revealed? Uh-huh. So now you can look out there and see who they are. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, go up first, gather up first the tares, and bind them in bundles. Are they bundling? Yes. To burn them. But there is a burning coming, saints. Remember, the beast is going to burn the harlot with fire. But gather the wheat into my barn. And of course, they will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Praise God. Well, saints, beware. Draw close to God. You can see people that don't have fruit. Don't disobey God. And that won't get into you. There is a lot of hatred out there. Always has been. When you look in the scriptures, read through the scriptures, you will notice that all of the people who spoke God's word were harassed, slandered, spoken against, lied about. All of them. Is it any different today? All this does is identify who it is that's walking with God and who it is that is these Pharisees, these Judases, who have persecuted Jesus. Whatever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. They have persecuted Jesus. The least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. They made themselves judges. With what measure you meet, it will be measured unto you again. These people are making their own future. What they have done to Jesus in these days is about to be done to them. No way out of it. The only way is repentance. Repentance and faith. And even then, they're going to endure a certain amount of this. Even then. So, saints, be careful. Be careful. There's a serpent out there in the way. We just shared two revelations about serpents rising up. This is the Sennacherib scenario. This army of demonically possessed people coming against the bride and being shot down by the Lord. Ain't God good? And this is a revelation given to Belinda Anderson, which I have a few things to say about. And it fits right in. This is called Exposing the Unrepentant. There is nothing hidden that would not be revealed. And she had this on the 8th of this month. And Belinda said, I dreamed that I saw a masked person in a cave looking at a map of UBM in Tennessee. We haven't given the areas here, but that's not necessary right now. Deb said, from the mouth of their cave, this person is speaking hidden curses. I watched as this person had a pen, like the old-time quill pens, in their left hand. This person was writing on the map what appeared to be calculations and drawing connecting lines from one place to another. Deb said, this is witchcraft. The map is the territory in the practice of what is called sympathetic magic. Yeah, we have received revelations of the factious using voodoo, which is sympathetic magic. And it's witchcraft too. They would never call it voodoo, obviously, but that's what it is. Using names, places, and imaginations to curse the righteous is sympathetic magic. But the righteous can cast their demonic power to the ground, for Jesus gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. And that's why he warns us of their activity constantly. And that's why we pray all the time. And also, Belinda said, I saw the shadow of someone lurking in a dark corner of the cave. Deb said, hidden enemies. They could be the controlling demons. I think so too. This person was not alone in the cave. A cave, by the way, is of the earth or flesh. And remember what the cave was when the ten kings were thrown into the mouth of this cave and they put rocks in front of the mouth. The mouth represented the mouth. The rocks represented the word, restraining the ten kings, the beast, from speaking out of the mouth of the cave. Amen? Then I watched as this person rolled up the map and left the cave and went outside and put the map into a saddlebag and got up on a black stallion and headed in the direction of UBM in Tennessee. And Deb wrote, evil works of the flesh, the body of the fleshly beast being controlled by demons. Talking about the black stallion, the beast. It's people's bodies are the beast. Their carnal flesh is the beast when it's controlled by the devil. Right? And when this person got to the brethren, they targeted certain houses of the UBM assembly. And Deb wrote Matthew 12 and 28. But if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. Or how can one enter into the house of the strong man and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man. Then he will spoil his house." So, this is part of Satan's house, the people who set about to do evil to God's people. And they are demon-possessed. And then Belinda said, "The next day, when the UBM assembly got together, the brethren shared their stories of how someone had stolen things in their houses. The assembly agreed to set up a night watch in order to catch this person." And I believe that that probably represents prayer. And one of the spirits that accompanies the factious spirit is theft, both spiritual theft and physical theft. Anyone who, of the factious that separated from us, who was in a position to steal from us, did so. It didn't matter, because God replaces everything that the devil steals and even multiplies it. And Luke 2 and 8, "And there were shepherds in the same country, abiding in the field and keeping watch by night over their flock." Yeah, they set up a night watch. And Psalm 63 and 6, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." Oh, that's me. That's me right there. I don't sleep a lot, but I don't seem to miss it. I seem to be in pretty good shape, but I don't sleep a lot. I think and I pray. I talk to the Lord. I meditate on the Word. I ask the Lord questions all night long, seems like. And still, I don't need to set an alarm clock. I wake up at the right time in the morning, if I'm even asleep. A few days later, I watched as this same masked rider on the black stallion was coming down the same road they had used a few days earlier, but this time the brethren were ready for the thief. And Deb writes John 10 and 10, "The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. And I came that they may have life, and may have it abundantly." The thief cometh not. Now, some people say that's talking about the devil. No, go read the text. It's not talking about the devil. It's talking about these corrupt people who are out to destroy God's people. "And when the rider got underneath a large oak tree, I saw Brother David jump down from the tree and knock the rider off their horse. I watched as David pulled the mask off of the rider and exposed the identity of the rider. And it was," we're not going to give you the name, "and it was so-and-so," but we know this person. We do know this person, and this was a revelation to us about this person. And we have our reasons. But anyway, Deb gives Hosea 7 and 1. "When I would heal Israel, then is the iniquity of Ephraim uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood." Oh, this really fits. "And the thief entereth in." Amen. "And the troop of robbers ravageth without." And they are ravaging the church, friends. They are stealing from the church the great benefit of the Word of God that is shared through UBM, and that every one of them was once excited about until they fell into corruption. This also reminds me of Absalom, another usurper, who was hung by his hair, wicked thoughts, she writes, in the tree, and then mourned by King David. Oh, that's so true. I've mourned from losing people that at one time were friends, but they stumbled, they fell, and the demons took them over. And from then on, nothing that I ever did was right from then on. It was twisted, it was tweaked, it was lied about. In Revelation 2 and 21, she gives, and I gave her time to that she should repent. And she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. You see, they're not going to escape, except they repent of her works. That's that woman in Eve's dream. Except they repent of her works. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto each one of you according to your works. Oh, this should make people afraid, tremble. But they don't have sense enough. When these spirits come in, they do their thinking for them. They don't have sense enough to know that they're offending God, that they are sowing something that they're going to reap. Now, we have many dreams and visions of the factious that have names in them that are not on our site. When we do put some on the site, we take the names out because we're wrestling with principalities and powers, not with people. But God has given a few dreams like this one that tell us that he may want those who have not repented unmasked soon. Whether that's right or not, we know that the Lord said that there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. He will unmask them. And David in this dream may be the man-child, David's. Just a thought. I remember a dream that someone had about three men in a tank that was hiding in the bushes waiting to shoot me. And I came walking down the hill, which could represent the man-child David's, came walking down the hill, reached out and grabbed the barrel of the tank, turned it upside down and shook them out on the ground, these three vipers. And they pulled out their guns and said that they would shoot me. And I just smiled and I walked off. And as I was walking off, they were shooting at me and their bullets were falling on the ground. But they were revealed. In the dream, they were hidden in this tank in darkness with a mouse in there, a beast in there, right? And they were waiting for me to come so that they could shoot me. They usually shoot me in the back. They don't ever come and tell me the things that they tell everybody else. They usually shoot me in the back. But in that case, the David revealed them, who they were. And they love to make anonymous sites and do things like that. They shoot people in the back. That is the kind of people that they are. And they don't ever come to your face like Matthew 18 and 15 commands them to do. That's the Lord. The Lord commands them, if they have some offense, to come and talk to the person. And they won't do that. They will talk to everybody else. Even the demon tells them, don't talk to David. Don't, and that's a fact. It tells them, do not talk to David. Talk to everybody else. So, but there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. God is going to see to it. Whether he has me to do it or not, I believe I could do a very good job of it. We have a very large, large book, not really put together as a book, but we have a very large, large book that could be spoken about this. But the Lord is going to do it. This I know. And Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you're doing all this for your elect. Both to crucify them and to test them to make sure that they are the elect. And you've always had wicked people out there ready to test your people, Father. And, of course, you've always said, especially in the book of Revelation, that you're going to render to every man according to his works. But you also spoke about your man-child there having great authority. Authority of a rod of iron to come against the wicked. The very people that they are persecuting all over the world, this type of people that are persecuting the man-child ministries all around the world, those people are the ones that the Lord's talking about. Because this is not just a local thing. We just happen to have been prophesied in several different ways to be the spearhead of the man-child ministry. And, of course, the devil has to do everything he can to stop us because he doesn't want the man-child ministry out there. He didn't want the revelation of it out there. He doesn't want people to recognize them when they come. He wants people to believe they are the lowest devils out there. That's what the devil wants people to believe. But our God and our Father is going to see to it that they fail miserably, that they are revealed. And Father, we thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but you've revealed them unto babes. And Lord, when they go trolling out there, and they pick up the people that are just like them, and they gather together, we all know, according to your word, Father, that this is the bundling of the tares in order to burn them. And Lord, you know that I say before you in the front of all that I have prayed diligently for this people, because I don't want to see old friends, people that were raised up by our ministry, to meet that end, because this is an eternal thing, Lord. And you know that in all honesty, I say before you that I have prayed diligently for this people and believed for them, like Job prayed for his friends who persecuted him, couldn't be rightfully called friends, who persecuted him. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And he had a lot more after that situation. But he had to go through that. Job had to go through that. It was a crucifixion for him. And God had really good plans for Job. And those friends could not get deliverance unless they went to Job as God told them to do and had Job pray for them. And that's going to happen. I know that for a fact. It's going to happen. So, Father, we ask you for the victory. For those of your elect who are just deceived by these people, trapped in their house, and that you plan on setting free, God, we give you thanks. And for those who are totally reprobate and will never turn to God again because of their evil ways, we thank you for cleansing your body, Lord. Even though it hurts, we thank you for cleansing your body. Lord, I am so grateful for local UBM. The difference in the spirit now and when you first started doing this is just so awesome and so great. I'm not saying that you're finished, but I know that larger UBM is the same way. Local and larger UBM is the same way. You are sanctifying your people, and you're making a spotless and blemishless body by removing the spots and blemishes that are in our love feasts, Lord, as Jude said, meaning spots and blemishes in the corporate body. Lord, we thank you for the cleansing that you're doing. We're thanking you, Lord, that you're revealing the people who do not love one another and who do not have the fruit of Christians. And you're making them obvious to anyone with eyes to see and ears to hear. You're making them obvious. Many of them lust for a position of authority. Many of them had rejection and lusted after a position and desired to just take one that they thought they could. But you never permitted it, Lord. You cleansed us. You cleansed your body here, for which we give you thanks. You gave us understanding and made us be very diligent in our relationship one with another, to be sure to forgive, to be sure to obey the rules of going to the brother first, to be sure to obey the rules of not receiving false accusations of gossip and slander, to take a part in persecuting your children, Lord. And Lord, they have had a part in perfecting your bride, and they've had a part in perfecting your man-child, and for this we give you thanks, Lord. We give praise unto you, O Lord. Lord, you've told us over and over again about this Sennacherib scenario, and you've told us that it's in the making right now. The demons are gathering their hosts, that is, the bodies that they dwell in, right now, against the Lord and against His anointed. And they're going to be smitten, just like in the Scriptures. And, Lord, this is happening, but also, Lord, I asked you, how painful is this going to be for your true people when all this happens? Well, they gathered against Jerusalem. They couldn't fire a shot into Jerusalem. They slandered Hezekiah a little bit over the wall. But basically, the Lord smote 185,000 of their mighty men. And the rest left. And Lord, I asked you that question, Lord. And you gave me 2 Chronicles 20, where Jehoshaphat was calling out to you because the army of the enemy was gathered together against him. And you told him, you're not going to fight in this battle. This is my battle. You just go out in front of the armed men and sing praises to God. And of course, they did that. And God sent ambushments for this demon army. And they ended up killing each other off. Now, Lord, that's what you told me. When they get through with me, they're going to attack each other. And your people will be left alone. Because as you said, Lord, for those that abide in you, there will be peace. And the wicked are going unto the beast to be crucified. And you told us this, you've shown us this over and over. And we know it's your word, Lord, because you've confirmed it to us many times. And you say it's already started, Lord. So we thank you for defending your flock, Lord. We thank you that Jesus bore our curse for us. And the bride, the man-child, will not be devoured by the dragon. And the dragon will fail totally. And we thank you for that, Father. We have full confidence in you, O Lord. And we praise your name for giving us the victory in Jesus Christ. That the wicked try, but they will not be able to hide what they have done. Because it's all going to be revealed. And Lord, even now you're giving us dreams about certain factious people. And what they've done and what they've planned. It's amazing. You haven't hidden things from us, Lord. You've revealed these things to us. And we thank you, Father, for going forth and defending your elect. And removing the stumbling blocks of iniquity that the wicked put before your people. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, O Lord, for all that you've planned of the great revival to follow this, Lord. Oh, praise God, we keep hearing again and again that after this trial is coming this great revival. And we can't wait, Lord. And we can't wait for your appearing in your people, Lord. Your mighty appearing. We can't wait, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come and lead your flock. Come and teach us truth. Come and teach us your ways. Come and anoint us with the power of your latter reign and your former reign. Come and let's have a revival in the wilderness, O Lord. Lord, let those that chase your people into the wilderness drown in the Red Sea. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for all you're doing and all you've planned. It is so wise and it so fits with Scripture. And thank you for your humble people that have eyes to see and ears to hear. That like Belinda and Eve, withstand the assaults of the wicked one. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that none of Satan's plans will come to fruition. He plans on destroying his enemies, but it's going to be the other way around. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, you said, Lord. And, it will prosper something, all right. It will prosper the making of your people, but it won't prosper the wicked. And we thank you for that, Father. Please, Lord, continue to work your will in us, to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Father, for all of your wonderful plans. Thank you for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus to give us life. Lord, we believe. We thank you for that life. We walk by faith for that life. And even though we have some brethren who have turned to the dark side out there, who don't have any faith for us, and they don't have any for themselves either, even though they don't have any faith for us and they always speak the curse at us, Lord, you have spoken the blessing. We're believing your word for that blessing. We thank you that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. We walk by faith. We walk by faith for some of them that you've revealed to us, Lord, are going to return. We walk by faith for them, even though they slander us. We walk by faith for them. And we thank you, Lord, for a mighty move of your Spirit among them, Father, so that they will see through the people that deceived them. The fruitless, powerless, deceptive people that deceived them, that they will see right through them. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your wondrous works. Grant us grace, Lord, to be well-pleasing unto you in everything that we do, Lord. Help us to be diligent in the trial to observe your word and not step beyond any of your constraints that your word has spoken to us. Lord, but this is the trial. The wicked want to get us into their camp to do the things that they do. The devil desires this, but we can't fail. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, thank you, saints, for your prayers. Thank you for coming against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness. Thank you for standing with us.